Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
That's right, folks. The show that you have all been waiting for. We're back. Here we are today to talk about iPhone photography. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
Folks, we're going to get right into the news today, and we are going to start off with news for our budding mobile journalists. The mobile reporting course taught by Richard Cosey Hernandez and Jeremy Rue, held this past spring in the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, was billed as a challenge to see how far students can go using only their wits, drive, and their smartphones in their pockets. Oddly, according to the article, the Daily California, it seems as though only three students signed up for the course and transformed it into a 15-week project searching for the ultimate mobile journalist toolkit and creating a 44-page guidebook complete with pictures, video, and audio samples, giving pros and cons on the apps that they tested. Here's a quote from one of the students. "I'm hoping this guide is an extra nudge a budding journalist needs to go mobile," one of the students, Evan Wagstaff, said in an email. "Journalists today are expected to do a little bit of everything, and in this generation, the smartphone is up to the task." So this guide is available to folks from the iBook store and as a PDF without the integrated audio and video. So that's pretty cool. I thought that was neat that somebody's gone and put together a comprehensive but basically which apps are good, what's good about them, which apps suck, what sucks about them, and so forth, and kind of gives you samples and everything. The other thing to note is that they created this iBook with nothing but their iPhones.
That is awesome. I mean, that's spectacular. I used to be a journalist for our local newspaper around here, and again, it's what they're describing is something very similar to what I was going through. We all had to do a little bit of something. So we all carried around point-and-shoot cameras just in case. Right. We all carried around our notepads. We just had to be ready all the time. And, I mean, if I had the tools that we have now back then, that would have been sweet.
Yeah. So I haven't dug into this report yet, but I do have it bookmarked, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. But it goes over – it goes so far as to also go over accessories too, like auxiliary mics and the like.
Yeah. Is there – do you have to pay for it?
No. The it's free on the iBook store.
Oh, that's awesome. That's incredible. I'm going to pick this up. I really want to do a review of this now.
And so this is actually a good time for me to take a quick break and find where I'm at in my notes. Okay. So I'm going to take a quick break here for a word from our listeners. Sadly, I deleted the email, so I don't have the name or exact words from our listener. But after last week's episode, a message came in from one of our dedicated listeners asking us to include notes in the show notes or include links in the show notes. And while we have been lazy about that over the past 2 weeks, and we are totally sorry about it, I would like to remind everybody that we have been fairly meticulous up to this point. But, dear listener, we will get back to it. I apologize for our lack of effort recently, but we will get back to it, and we will have notes and show notes and links to all of those in there, and you can expect to see links for the 44-page guidebook that we just discussed on tinyshutter.com. So thanks for bottom line is thanks for your very genuine feedback.
Yeah, vacation was kind of it was hard to bounce back from that.
Yeah, it was extended. And just so you know, it does take a fair bit of effort for us to bring this all together. Isn't that right, Matt?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Although his roboting does make it very comical.
I work long and hard on this.
Awesome. Anyway.
See, this part will most likely be edited out.
Desperately fighting the urge to say, "That's what she said." when he said, "I work long and hard on this." All right.
Yes, all Keith, right. That was the joke.
In more Don't F With My Eye iPhone news. You'll remember a while back when we talked about an unsuspecting iPhone thief who was caught thanks to PhotoStream. Well, today, we have a story of Erica Silva, who was surfing the web on her iPhone in Manhattan when some droid head comes along and swipes her iPhone and runs off.
Bastard.
That's when our true heroes spring into action. Brian Hester and Chase Bunn jump into action and apprehend the would-be iPhone thief. The interesting part now starts is that after apprehending the thief, the two actually had to then start protecting the thief from the gathering crowd of angry New Yorkers, one of whom actually stomped the perp right in the throat.
Oh!
So you either better run faster or just not steal somebody's iPhone, okay? That's the moral of this story today.
They're all pissed at AT&T anyway. They're going to be rough.
Let's continue on before we fall off the tracks there. Now for some closure on some way back news. Does anybody remember what episode it was that we talked about Russell Brand snapping on a guy for using his iPhone to grab a shot?
God, that was four. Like 30 episodes ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a while back. I don't remember either. Definitely a while back. And I don't remember which episode it was. But I do seem to remember Mark saying that Brand's victim would see no justice.
None whatsoever. I still hold by that.
Well, Brand has been ordered recently, just this past week and a half ago, to pay 20 hours of community service and a $500 fine.
Oh, I've been thwarted.
I'm sure that'll cause him to think twice about his next immature outburst.
$500, he has to get that phone unsubsidized.
So that thereby ends our news for the week, unless you two have any other tidbits you'd like to add.
Oh, I'm glad they finally got him off the street. these rogue vigilantes. There's no place for it in our cities.
It's horrible. It's horrible. All right. I'd like to move into listener letters. How's that?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Hi, guys. I absolutely love your podcast. As someone that is getting more and more involved and interested in using my iPhone as my camera to find a podcast dedicated to that topic, along with a healthy sense of humor, makes my commute a real pleasure. I'd like to pause right there and say that I'm sure Mark is very excited about the sense of humor comment.
I'm really happy about that, considering that the first few episodes we got nailed for it.
I'm a bit of a geeker, and I enjoy doing my editing post-photo in a dedicated editing app. As such, I'm always on the search for the ultimate camera replacement app. Pro Camera, Camera Plus, Camera Genius, Camera Awesome. I've given them all a shot. One app I don't hear much about, but is really kind of what I'm looking for, is 645 Pro. Have you played with it at all? And would it be worthy of a review, be it positive or negative, on the podcast? I'd be interested in your opinions, experiences, tips with the particular camera replacement app. Keep up the great work. I'm catching up with all of the episodes as I type. And it says, peace, Sean. So, Sean, if you are catching up on the apps, at some point you will get to the episode where we review 645 Pro. But since you were so kind to send us a letter and chat with us about it, we will go ahead and revisit it briefly here. I think the biggest fan between the three of us was probably Matt, right?
No, I think that was you.
Must have been a while ago. I enjoyed the image quality of the 645 Pro app. I did a side-by-side comparison between like some photo I took up in the White Mountains. Matt, you were there actually when I took the photo.
Was I there too?
I don't think so.
We
hadn't met with you yet. No. We were meeting up at North Conway. We were having breakfast in Lincoln. It was delicious,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, Keith.
So anyway, the picture was from the native app versus the 645 app, and the 645 app had much better saturation, much better, just more vibrancy in the photo. And all in all, I really enjoyed it. But I got to be honest that I haven't been using it much lately.
I like the app. It's for me, and I think I mentioned this in our review, for me, it's an app that I am definitely not going to pull out unless I am like gearing up to take like incredible pictures, gearing up to take pictures that I will probably be taking off of my phone and possibly even editing in Lightroom. It's something that I'm going to take much more time and care in the preparation of composition and creation of the image. It's not something that I grab every day for a quick shot. I do like the app. I think that it's great. I think that as far as a camera replacement app goes, quote unquote, I think it just depends on what you're looking for. And if you're going to use the iPhone as multiple cameras, which I actually do, I have, you know, for as a snapshot camera, I use just the built-in native camera app. And then I have a whole bunch of specialty cameras like, why are they all slipping my head right now? But, you know, for panoramas and the synth cam and all these different things that I use for the right, you know, slow shutter cam, all these things that I use during the right time. And there's also a right time for Jagger 645 Pro. It's a great app. It's a great app, and it gives you great quality pictures, but it's not something that you use to take a quick shot, because that's and Mike from Jagger kind of came on and said that that's not its strong point. Its strong point is to create, you know, high quality, higher res type of images that you're gonna work with, as opposed to a snapshot.
Right. And in that respect, it's top notch. I think it's awesome.
Without a doubt. And the other great thing about it, and this is something that we've mentioned a few times as far as his update habits go, but support for all of his products, or Jagger's products, really good. They're constantly updating the apps. They're staying on top of that kind of thing. So as far as getting into an app that you're spending money on, That's a good thing to know for me, that you're getting constant updates. He's staying on top of Jagger's staying on top of keeping the app up to date and healthy for iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're more of a traditional, get it right in the camera kind of person, and you don't like to spend a whole lot of time, editing after the fact, then 645 is probably a good way to go. There's a lot of features like filters that are built right in, and not like cheesy filters. I'm not talking like Instagram filters, but more like, warming filters and cooling filters and, contrast filters for black and white. And you could even dial the intensity of those filters. So you could do all that stuff like you would with, you know, your digital camera or your film camera from back in the day. It's kind of just like, you know, doing the effect before you take the picture rather than after.
Kind of gives you the feel of doing medium format photography.
Yeah, I suppose so, which is appropriate given the name of the app.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yes, Sean, there's your question, and I've just pulled it up here while we were talking about it. Episode 8, we have an interview with Mike from Jagger, and you can listen to that interview, and I'm not sure if we discuss our feelings on the app at that point or if we wait till an episode further down, but I haven't been able to find that yet. But episode 8 has an interview with the creator of 645 Pro.
I could have sworn we did it right there.
We might have done it in that same episode. So not sure. But anyway, so there's the answer to that.
There we go.
Doot-de-doo. And moving on, we just wouldn't be an iPhone photography show if we didn't mention the fact that the new iPhone rumors are at just crazy hot pitch right now. Everybody broke yesterday that the iPhone announcement will be on September 12th, which as of right now is about
almost a month away,
42 days away.
Yeah.
The announcement is speculated to be on September 12th, and the release is speculated to be on 21st or 22nd, I believe.
Sounds about right. About 2 weeks to reserve your phone.
Right. You could do your pre-orders and crash the sites.
Yeah.
The company who made the first break, is it iLife or iSomething or other? It's a company that has been fairly accurate with these types of predictions before. So that's cool. I mean, it's nothing we didn't almost really know anyway is that it was coming in the fall, and you know whether it was going to be a September or October launch, we knew it was going to be in that ballpark. Speculation is that they're moving it up because iPhone 4S sales have crashed through the floor thanks to the fevered rumor mills going on over the iPhone 5.
But this happens all the time. The sales fall down, and
it does.
They'll be fine.
It does, and I think that they thrive on these rumors anyway.
They do.
They've got a sales plan in place where they're gonna, you know, probably do the same thing. They'll knock the 4s till free until they lose stock on that. 4s will drop down to that 99 or 149 price point. You know, they'll do the same thing they always do. And life will go on, and we'll all be happy with a new iPhone that has a 16:9 aspect ratio and a smaller 19-pin dock connector.
I have no problem with that. I don't see why everybody's making such a big deal about the pin connector. I mean,
I don't have a problem with it either. They're gonna ship it with a connector, right?
With an adapter?
No, they're gonna ship it with a connector, just like they always do. It's gonna have the thing that you can use to plug it into the wall or
plug it into your computer. Oh, of course, yeah.
I'm sure that somebody will jury rig some sort of 31-19 point adapter so that I can stick it onto my alarm clock.
Yeah, I'm sure that's fine. And I think the biggest people that are going to be affected are the people who bought the cars with the built-in docks. That one kind of would irk me, I guess.
I have a year till I have to worry about any of that stuff.
There you go.
Well, that's actually a good point. Gizmodo had an article today that I read that said, whatever you do, don't, under any circumstances, buy a iPhone accessory right now. And it's kind of like a odd thing to say. There's plenty of people that will probably continue to hold their 4s and their 4s, and there's probably a heck of a lot of people that may be upgrading, may be waiting to upgrade from their 4 or their 3GS to a 4S, right?
Yeah. I mean, because so, you'd imagine it's going to be $99, the 4S.
Right. So it's kind of silly for them to go out and say, oh, under no circumstances should you be buying a – their thought is that there's going to be some fire sales going on for old accessories to try and liquidate them. But I don't think that market's going to shut down. You still have a lot of iPods out there. You still have a lot of iPhone 3s, 3GSs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the idea of that market shutting down is pretty silly.
It's ludicrous. I mean, think about this. The 3GS right now is free if you get it with a contract, right?
Right.
So logic tells us, I mean, again, who knows what they're going to do, but the 3GS might be bumped out and the iPhone 4 will take the free spot. The iPhone 4S will be $99 and then the, you know, the 5 will be, you know, whatever price it's going to be, $200.
Right.
I got to tell you, unless the iPhone 5 is like just so ridiculously cool that I can't live without it, I'm going to be awfully tempted to pick up a 4S.
I have no problem with the 4S. I'm having a great time with the 4S.
That's an interesting point, Matt, because I have the 4, and I've always said, you know, I've been very, very, very happy with it. And I don't know how much in love I'm going to be with this 16:9 aspect ratio, not because of the aspect ratio, although that does concern me, but more because of the form factor. I mean, basically, they're keeping the thing the same width. It seems as though it's going to be thinner, but longer. So now I'm like, I don't know, and I don't know how much longer, but just the idea of a long, skinny thing doesn't sound good to me. So
doesn't like the ladies don't like it either.
That's what she said. So I don't know. You know, I'm going to buy it. I mean, but I want to sit there and believe that there's a chance that I won't, and I'll just go to the iPhone 4S. But if I say that, I'm full of crap, because I will definitely be buying the new iPhone. And that would be my last point about this, unless you guys have something else. My last point is that I don't know if it was Gizmodo or TechCrunch who came out with it yesterday. That it won't be an iPhone 5. They're speculating, obviously. It won't be an iPhone 5, that they will follow along with their path they set with the new iPad, which is to just call it the new iPhone, and it will be an iPhone from now on. It won't be iPhone whatever.
Sure. I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah, and I think if you go back a few episodes, when we first started pulling out iPhone rumors, I believe that I threw that rumor out. That's mine. I started it.
There you go. You know what? I second it, and therefore you are now credited with it.
That only makes sense. I mean, it completely makes sense. I mean, you know, we don't go out and buy a MacBook Pro 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, at some point it kind of – well, I say that, you know, and somebody else throws out the idea, well, you don't buy a Mustang 7, but you do go out and buy a Nikon D700, and then you go out and buy a D800, and then you sit there and say, well, what does Nikon do with their freaking naming regimen right now? Because they're, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other podcast.
Right. So
– well, here's something interesting because the rumor also is that we might see a new mini iPad. I mean, that's been going around. So if people are strapped for cash yet buying all these crazy Apple stuff, you'd think that somebody would probably upgrade to the iPhone 4S and maybe pick up the new iPad instead if they come out around the same time. You got to imagine that's going to have a decent camera. No, I mean, hopefully it's as good as what's on the iPhone 4 right now. And that'll make things interesting for photography.
What's the difference between an iPhone and a mini iPad?
About 3 inches? Supposedly. I mean, the rumor right now is the mini iPad is going to be 7 and some change inches. And right now the iPhone 4S is 3.5, if I'm not mistaken, and that's going to be bumped up to the 4 inches.
Gotcha.
So, it's ridiculous to see people taking photos with their iPad, but it might not be so ridiculous for people to be taking photos with their iPad minis or whatever they're going to be called.
Do you think an iPad mini is something that an iPhone owner would have?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Now, why would they want an iPhone? Why would they want an iPad mini and not just an iPad? Why would they need something in the middle? Would they have all three, or would they just have the two smaller ones?
No, we'll have all three because we're freaks like that. Well, here's the thing. We're all drinking the Kool-Aid. The iPad mini, I personally, if they're going to come out with one, it's going to be a race for supremacy in books and not necessarily with anything else. The camera and all that stuff is just going to be gravy. But what Apple really wants to do, since they're putting so much emphasis on textbooks and the school world domination and bookstores, if you really want to nail down that market, you got to go after the young kids. And I'm not going to buy my daughter a $500, $600 iPad, but I probably would buy her a $200, $300 iPad mini. I mean, so many people have made that thing.
So that's a good point. And so just to wind down on that, do you think that – no, I'm not going to wind down on that. Sorry. Well, we want to keep it a photography podcast, so I'm not going to sit there and talk about the fact that I wonder if they're going to go with some kind of reader type of thing, e-ing type of thing, as opposed to a retina type of thing.
No, it's either going to be retina or it's going to be just a standard display, something like that. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we don't know what this thing looks like. Will it be good for photography? Well, we'll see. I'll be curious.
All right, let's wind it down, boys. Okay. Let's bring this train into the station and go into our focus points. Matt, you want to start it up?
Yeah, sure. Today, InstaCanvas announced a couple new products. So instead of just having the InstaCanvas product for sale, now there's a couple different things that they offer. The two new things are frame prints. So now you could get your Instagram photos printed, and it comes in a 1-inch thick black wood frame with a pretty nice mat, and that comes ready to hang. And then there's another product, which I'm pretty intrigued by. They're calling it the Prism. And they only offer this in one size right now. It's a 6x6-inch, 1-inch thick acrylic photo glass. And from the pictures I've seen, it looks like somehow the photos printed on the back of this glass, but it's being projected just by the ambient light in the room through the glass. So the whole piece of glass kind of looks like your photo, and you could see through the sides of the glass, and it's really tough to explain, but it looks like a really neat product. So neat that I ordered one the second I saw it.
Oh, how much did you pay for it?
It's $31.99.
Oh, that's not bad.
Interesting. I've seen those around, similar types of products, but it's interesting that this Insta Canvas is. I wonder how their business model is doing, because I've seen Insta Canvas popping up on multiple Instagrammers feeds. So I wonder if I wonder how it's working for them.
I gotta imagine that you really have to tailor it for a particular audience. Like, I see some people, like our very own Kristen Garn, who's a fantastic photographer. Jesus Christ, she's good. She makes prints that people would want to buy. You'd want to have that on your wall. And there are other people on Instagram that have pictures of their kids running around. And then right below that, they said, you could buy this on InstaCanvas.
Right.
Why? Why would I want to buy your kids?
Right.
Well, InstaCanvas has a feature that you can enable that automatically puts all of your Instagram photos into your InstaCanvas gallery, and then you could make it say that, you know, this photo is available in my InstaCanvas gallery. So the only way to make it have that little comment is if you automatically have your photos available in InstaCanvas. So
it's just a weird thing to have, though. I wouldn't mix the personal with the business.
Yeah. What's your focus point, Mark? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on.
I was just going to say real quick, I normally don't post, like, you know, pictures of, like, my cats or my wife and I eating dinner or something like that in Instagram, but I never know what I'm going to post, so I definitely don't have that feature enabled.
Yeah, I hear you. My focus point for this week is a very simple app. It's free, and it's called Duomatic. And what this app does is just simply blends two photos together for what is supposed to be a double exposure. You line up your first photo, you line up your second photo, and then you're able to adjust the intensity of the transparency. And then you're done, and boom, you have your photo. It's as simple as that. My only gripe with the app, it's a small gripe, is that it only deals with horizontal pictures. So if you have a vertical picture, it'll do some cropping. You actually have to do some editing to make it fit into the app. But it's free. It's kind of cool to play with, and I had no problem with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a fun little app that I'll play around with.
Neat. All right, let me wind it down then, and I will tell you that my focus point for the week is a brand new app called Photo Twine. And I haven't done a bunch of research on it, but I do believe that it is made by SmugMug. And SmugMug, if you are not familiar, is a photo hosting utopia that also is responsible for Camera Awesome. And Photo Twine is a direct ripoff of one of my ideas.
Okay? Those bastards.
Months and months and months ago, Mark and I were talking about an idea for an app where, let's say you and all your friends go to Mark's wedding. We're all at Mark's wedding, and Mark can have this. Everybody has this app. Let's say it's the Mark's wedding app or whatever you want to call it. Let's call it Photo Twine. Why don't we? And Mark basically creates an event, and then everybody can create or take their pictures, and they automatically get added to that event. And so now you get to be a part of the event, and you're like, you can look at the instant pictures that are being taken by everybody else at the event. It's like, oh, look at Aunt Margaret. She just fell on the floor and so forth. And it's like, it was really cool. I mean,
that was traumatic. She died too soon. No kidding.
It started out.
Oh, did that get dark?
At least everyone got pictures.
Oh, man, that's good.
Anyway, my idea evolved from hashtags on Twitter, on Instagram, and then, I came up with, oh, well, why don't we have an app? Well, SmugMug's gone ahead and done it. And you know what? I'm just pulling that out of my butt because I believe that it's SmugMug. It may be somebody else, but I don't think so. The photos are being hosted on SmugMug, so that would either mean that SmugMug's doing it or they have a partnership with whoever is. So here's the idea. You get this app, PhotoTwine, you get your first event for free, and everybody gets to go to the event, and they all post their pictures to this event. You can look at them from the app, you can look at them from online, and you can buy any one of the numbers of products that you would normally be able to buy from if you had regular pictures on SmugMug in the first place. After that, if you want to do more than one event. Your first event is free. If you want to buy a package of 8 events, it's 99 cents. If you want to buy a package of 24 events, it's $1.99.
That's where they lost me.
You know what? Honestly, I really like this pricing model, to be honest with you. We all know that these people need to make money. You can't make apps for free. And we'll have this discussion further on down the road as we begin to get into our new series of app teardowns. But basically, these people have to make apps. It's just like Camera Awesome had to do in-app purchases, and this is another form of an in-app purchase. So just, if you think about it, you're going to pay for this event, and you're going to get the storage of these photos online, and you're going to be able to have all the services available for it. Now, let's say you are, you're the one that's hosting the event. So you're the one that pays for the 24 events for $1.99, but everybody else that has the app can still participate and share and view. So I like it. I think it's a nice way. I mean, again, here we are talking about $1.99 for 24 events, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to a bunch of parties, you go to a couple weddings. You know what I mean?
Here's one flaw with the app. And having just finished my brother's wedding, the one flaw is Facebook, because first of all, the average person is going to be extremely lazy and chances are they're not going to download this app. The other thing is they're already uploading this stuff to Facebook and tagging you, which means you can already grab that photo, download those files, and store them away for your own.
Sure. It's not as seamless, though. I mean, imagine everybody's got the app and everybody's taking pictures with the app, and now you can go and you can see all the photos from that event right there in real time. It's not like the Facebook scenario where, I don't know, would you create an event and then somehow add the pictures to the event or something? I don't know. But anyway, that's my focus point for the week. Go check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes like I promised I would. PhotoTwine is the name of the app, and we will move on to our closure because I believe this is going to be a long episode. Yeah.
I have one observation that I would like to make.
Go ahead.
Everybody knows the Olympics is going on right now, or if you're listening to this in the archives, it was going on. And did you guys watch the opening ceremony?
No.
Yeah, I saw some of it.
Okay. Did you watch the March of Nations?
Yes.
Were you actively looking for the countries that had iPhones?
No.
No.
I was watching, seeing what – oh, that country clearly has iPhones. And then, you'd see something like Kazakhstan. It's like, oh, no, only point and shoots for them. And – And then it comes to the United States. I'm watching everybody, with the mix of camcorders and iPhones and point and shoots. And then there's LeBron James doing a video on his iPhone, holding it vertically.
I knew it.
I'm like, son of a bitch. You're clearly not taking photos because your thumb's not clicking on the button or doing anything. You're VVS. Taking a video. And you're doing it vertically.
VVS.
Yeah.
Vertical video syndrome. All right, let's wind this thing down, folks. First of all,
go Celtics.
go to tinyshutter.com and check out all the stuff. There is still a code over there for Postagram, And if you haven't done it yet, you can use that code. The link will take you right to the Postagram code you entered. It automatically puts us into your address book. It automatically gives you 5 free Instagrams. If you are so inclined, you can send one of those Postagrams to us. Did I say Instagrams? Sorry.
Yeah.
You can send one of those Postagrams to us. Postagram's a free app. It allows you to send postcards to your friends. I got a bunch of them last week. I'm sorry I don't have them with me. I will read them off next week. Don't forget on Instagram, hashtag Tiny Shutter. We're well over 1,000 images in the feed now. I think it's really cool, and I'm loving the community that we're building there. So head over there and make sure you hashtag Tiny Shutter.
Awesome. It's
bound
photos.
to get a like from either myself or Mark or all of us and Matt as well.
And friend us there too, because we definitely love seeing you guys in our feed.
Absolutely. And last but not least, thanks for the thanks to the focus group for showing up and hanging in there with us. All right. And Mark, where can they find you?
You could find me on Instagram. My username is Lenswipe, or you could find me at casualphotography.net.
And you guys could check me out on Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
Sorry, I meant to say Matt. Where can they find you? That's and okay. Obviously, or not obviously.
Obviously, you can find me.
Instagram, it's Keith_Tharp. All of this information can be found at tinyshutter.com, where you can go over to the team page, find out more about us. You can look at our back articles as far as looking for 645 Pro stuff and all that kind of stuff, as well as everything else we talked about is going to be in the show notes, I promise. Don't forget to tune in next week, where we will do more and more amazing things. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.